At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay, so good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan session, which is our opportunity, of course, to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now, a little bit of a frustrating week last week in the sense that we didn't really make any progress in any particular trade that we were looking and spending a lot of time analyzing. And we did take a couple of trades last week. We're still actually in one of them. Well, we're technically in two of them, but we'll discuss the second one in just a moment regarding US oil. However, and it's probably worth just talking about, you know, the realities of trading means that we do experience, you know, days and weeks occasionally like what we experienced last week. So it's fine in our own head. It's not something that we want to start chasing. Took a couple of very, very small losing trades last week. Our trade frequency is much, much lower than it would be in normal circumstances. Our trade size is very conservative and very, very small. And the major reason for that is when we conduct our analysis, we want to see markets moving in line with our expectations. And when that doesn't happen, which is pretty much what happened for most of last week, there's not really a huge amount you can do about it. So in situations like that, we use our capital to sort of test, you know, the opportunity and see if it's a really strong, viable one. And occasionally it just isn't. So that's something that we're not, you know, if we took a couple of very, very small losing trades last week. Last week is last week. Now we're looking at market conditions with fresh eyes, so to speak. And that's a really, really important feature of trading financial markets, because there is a bit of a rabbit hole you can go down. If you take a couple of losing trades, you then sort of start to want to try and chase those losses. You want to, try and get one over on the market, so to speak. That's a bad mindset or road to go down. So if you can keep your feet on the ground, even if you've taken a few losing trades, as long as you control your exposure, and really we've got to ask ourselves, would we have done anything different? And the answer is not really. If we still have these same market conditions this week, would we make similar decisions? We probably would. So when you take losing trades under those circumstances, it's not as important as making a rash decision where you're oversizing or you're chasing a trade or you're getting pushed around by these markets. That's a very, very difficult and very, very different sort of mindset than what we have, which was markets not really moving in line with our expectations at all. Now, hopefully this week it'll be the complete opposite. So let's wait and see. And that's the beauty of trading financial markets. You get good weeks and you get some, unfortunately, challenging weeks. But it's still important to discuss the psychology around trading good and not so good markets. All right. So on that note, hopefully that makes a little bit of sense. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Thanks very much for joining us. We've got sort of new infrastructure built now over the weekend. So we're assuming everything will go well, but we're still sort of testing bits and pieces, and but hopefully no disruption of any kind. Okay, so let's get into it. We'll start with our risk warning. Good morning, everyone. Hope you all had a good weekend. So big week for markets, especially around central bank decision making, which is really the, you know, the big one, so to speak. So let me just get that down on my side. In terms of a quick introduction, all profitable traders need to consider trade selection. So literally, what markets do we trade? And most importantly, why do we trade as markets? So do we understand the big geopolitical risks and dynamics that are impacting markets? If you do understand those, you do give yourself a better opportunity to even technically trade. Where do we enter and exit these markets? How do we manage risk? Trade management, which we're currently in the euro dollar. Let's see how that plays out. There is a slightly, we're going against consensus in a bit more of a contrarian fashion with regards to the dollar. Let's see how that plays out. It might be a very, very interesting week for the US dollar. And then trade psychology, which is something we've just kind of referenced really in real terms. So we address these considerations every day in our live trading room, and we're strong advocates of maintaining a high degree of consistency in our decision-making, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital. And if we have to wait for a trading opportunity, then that's what we do, and we can be nice and patient. So let's bring over Forex Factory then. So this is it currently up on screen. Now, it's really all about, I could probably increase the size here a little bit. Yeah, hopefully that makes it nice and big on your side. So today now, Monday the 15th, and it's bank holiday in Japan, so we haven't seen that much volatility overnight. So going into the European trading session, you can see that most of the data is on during the Asia trading session. Very little in the European. And then in the US this afternoon, we're talking about Empire State Manufacturing, Regional Manufacturing Index. Now, with all the money coming into the US, according to the Trump and the US government, there's concern on the manufacturing side, you know, or a lot of this commitment to increase and improve manufacturing. We've yet to see it. Now, of course, there's going to be a delay, but concern on the manufacturing side for sure, especially with all this commitment of, I think he mentioned something in the region of about 17 trillion now that have been committed. We all know that when these numbers are touted, the reality is probably going to be significantly different, but that's the kind of the way it is at the moment. This afternoon, we've got Christine Lagarde. I'm sure it's due to speak at Montaigne Institute. So there's no Q&A really with that. So not a particularly significant event. So tomorrow we get retail sales, US retail sales, and you can see the expectation is just steady retail sales, nothing spectacular. Let's see if these numbers come in above or below those expectations. UK inflation is still pretty high. This is one of the problems really for the UK government. And then we're going to start hearing from all these central banks. So the BOC are projecting a 25 basis point rate cut from 2.75 to 2.5. The Fed are projecting a 25 basis point rate cut. Now, that's quite an interesting little discussion in its own right. So let's see how the Fed react. The job numbers, which is one of the most significant economic data points in the US, this is the hard data, is seemingly falling off a cliff, so to speak. It's really getting quite significant pretty quickly. Now, if the Fed cut 25 basis points, is that enough to make any meaningful reaction in the job numbers? You certainly wouldn't imagine that to be the case. At the end of the day, it's a stimulative measure. It just makes sure that repayments are probably, and your ability to recycle and roll over debt becomes a bit more affordable. As to whether it would change a company's view on whether they take on staff or not is a completely different discussion. Certainly at this time, with AI ticking away in the background, which is likely to bring a series of job losses. So it's a really, really interesting discussion to say the Fed are now cutting rates again, which is not overly surprising. When if I just zoom out a little bit, see how far back this goes. And you can see even going back to early 2000s. So we've got 25 years of data. I think we've got a little bit more here as well. Yeah, 25 years of data. Is that when the central bank starts to cut rate, you can see that the highest level really is kind of 1%. So this is ultimately the expectation when they start. So did I say hiking, cutting rates? When the Fed starts to cut rates, you're talking about eventually arriving at kind of the stimulative level of around 1% interest rates. They have that much room to go from 4.5, which is currently up at these highs, down to in and around 1%. Now, we're going to get a bit of an update as to whether they're looking to settle at 2%, but the concern that we would have is that eventually the reasons for cutting rates are perhaps the wrong reasons, and therefore the economic fallout could be much more significant. So that's the kind of longer term view, is that we'll actually be going eventually from 4.5 down to these much, much lower levels. So a 25 basis point rate cut is negligible. A 50 basis point rate cut is obviously a little bit more significant. A couple of back-to-back 50s is very significant. And we're going to find out all of this information Wednesday afternoon. So we get the funds rate, we'll see what number it is. We get the economic projections, we'll look at the dot plot as how they project out these numbers, where they want to get this interest rate down to, what the expectations are over the next 3 years. We want to sort of monitor bond yield activity. Are they going to continue to drop, or have we seen the drop already in these, especially the two-year treasury note? And then we get the statement, and of course, we'll be hearing from Jerome Powell. So, and then on Thursday, we've got the MPC. So we'll see if this is where the inflation rate is a very different dynamic in the UK. We've got higher inflation. Whereas are the expectations that inflation is up at 3.8? And like the ECB, the Bank of England would be very unlikely to get rates below inflation, because that's an inflationary dynamic, where you've got a central bank in an economy stimulating the economy when inflation is already pretty high. It's not an advisable. And when we've seen central banks do this in the past, it leads to increasing inflation. It's like putting a match underneath, you know, some flammable material, you know, it just goes up. So we'll see how this plays out. Unemployment claims, you know, a lot of people are suggesting, you know, this time and this market condition could be different because of the role that the AI will play. And let's wait and see. Economics in the end, very rarely behaves differently, but let's see. And the BOJ on Friday, so look, this is really quite an important one. They're expected to hold rates, but they've been talking, and the BOJ have been doing this for a couple of years now, where they talk about normalizing rates and saying, right, well, the Japanese economy is ready for rates to start going up, and then they reverse the rhetoric over the coming days and weeks. And when these meetings come around, that they actually appear to be more dovish than hawkish in terms of increasing those rates. They start to row back on that rhetoric. So to say markets get pushed around quite a lot by the BOJ is kind of an understatement. Then when we look at the charts, you know, the yen's continuing to weaken. So it's a reversal of that weakness is what we're keeping a close eye on. And while we're on the yen, let's bring that up on screen and let's discuss the dollar yen just briefly. So we're up at elevated levels as far as that dollar yen's concerned. We're on a bit of a rally, but you can see the price action over the last month. It's not particularly inspiring. In fact, we were on a bit of a rally going for far back as June, end of June, where we're on this little upward. So now we've got a series of kind of lower highs and a bit of a narrowing of this price action. So not overly clear and not that surprising, really, when we talk about the BOJ. And we've got a strong sideways moving pattern. So just to confirm, just regarding the yen, just very, very briefly, that should be on the daily. So we're watching carefully to see at what point will the BOJ actually act. So if there was a surprise one on Friday, we would want to be prepared for a bit of yen strength, which means we can get the opportunity to start buying at these really quite elevated levels, which is something you would instinctively prefer to do. Okay, so moving on to the rest of the dollar then. We've got these new charts, but we'll edit them as we go. So you've got this narrowing price action as well in the euro dollar. Let me just double check quickly. Yeah, so we're still in this trade. So the S&P, I don't know where the trade details are. They should be. We'll look into that in just a second. So we are still in this trade, believe it or not. But we're looking for dollar strength, and that was the idea behind last week's price action. And we didn't really get any follow through. It looked like we were going to, but it didn't really materialize. So look, what we still have is a very much a sideways moving market dynamic, and there is still plenty of time for that trade in the euro dollar to still develop, believe it or not, but we're not really going to hold our breath on it. This is what you're getting in the dollar yen. So I think it's fair to say there is a significant structural, right, we're missing the dollar Swiss there for some reason. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Dollar CAD, you can see the slightly, well, sometimes these markets, they move in levels. So you have support resistance down at these lower levels since June, July, and then we kind of rally a little bit, and we're still in this little sideways pattern between July and September. So we're looking for a significant move, and we're not really getting it. I suppose if you look at something like the Aussie dollar, we had a bit of a strong move to the downside, which saw a massive rejection. And last week now, we've just got these prices breaking above. So if you're interested in dollar weakness, then the Aussie dollar and potentially the New Zealand dollar are certainly in better positions than some of the other dollar pairs. But if you zoom out, you can see that it's not a great price chart, but you can see the sideways pattern. So we were still at these prices going back to April. And that's around, you know, the whole sort of US tariff problem. The yen pairs, we need to prepare for that. So last week we saw a very significant pause in markets like gold. It's probably a bit cautious now going into these central bank decisions. Let's see how the market responds to growth and inflation expectations from the major global central banks. If they get them right, you might see gold sell off. If the market perceives as getting them wrong, then you might see further volatility to the upside. Plus, you have central banks looking to get their hands on as much gold as they can. So you've always got those little buying pressures. So this is a trade we got into on Friday. Unfortunately, by the time we were able to post the trade, prices really skyrocketed to the downside. So we'll just use it as kind of a short-term discussion point, really, more than anything. And then we just finish off with the S&P. So at all-time highs, quite impressively, S&P, NASDAQ, Dow Jones, very close to all-time highs at the top of the tree. And then the German DAX. So again, like some of the dollar pairs, in the long-term sideways moving pattern, and the FTSE 100. You can see pretty close to all-time highs. So we kind of, unfortunately, with the nature of this news, and just a quick comment on the 2-year US Treasury with the Fed in mind, it looks like we've had a little bit of a strong rally to the downside until the 9th, which was 6 days ago. And it's interesting to see, actually, we're getting sort of a little bit of a bounce off the lows. So it looks like we rallied down to 3.5. It looks like that seems to be a bit of a floor, although we made new lows. So if we zoom out, you can see we were down at sort of 3.5. We ran at these levels going back to September 2024. So look, this time last year, we saw a bit of a concerning spike. I don't know why there's not more detail in that. So let's see how these prices react around these sorts of levels. If this rallies, it's probably a negative dynamic for equity markets. We might see the dollar rally. Which is what we were discussing towards the end of last week, is the potential for the dollar to see a bit of a bid. And if this continues to drop, then you'd have to say that's probably a net stimulative for indices, which means they might rally versus a significantly weaker dollar. Okay, so trade plan. Let's just edit this currently up on screen. So we found the risk on market dynamics last week quite surprising due to a favorable US PPI number. It seems to be sometimes you can clearly see the market identifying a very, very minor or specific positive news event to sort of grab hold on and then run with. So it ignored a series of really, really bad US job numbers. Unemployment claims last week were really bad. They jumped significantly higher. Inflation is, although there's a lot of rhetoric last week about inflation, it's actually just ticking a little bit more to the upside. Now, central banks, and we'll find out from Jerome Powell this week, is that they're somehow kind of expecting elevated inflation. But I don't like to use the word transitory, but that appears to be what they're now saying. Is that, yes, because of these tariffs, we do expect inflation to tick higher, but then the deflationary forces, disinflationary forces will kick in. Especially if we run into a recession. The bad news about recession is that that's bad news for the economy. Could be in that recession for a long period of time. Bad news for stocks. It just sets up for a fascinating and very, very interesting end to the calendar year. And let's see how this thing plays out. So, yeah, so for us, it grabbed onto those PPI numbers, which strangely did come in much, much better than what the markets were expecting in terms of slightly lower inflation numbers for producers. We've got this strong tech rally just ticking away in the background, stronger than ever, very impressive, with no end in sight, it seems, right now, but just very expensive stocks. Ignoring the increasing US CPI inflation numbers and drastically worsening US job numbers. And this is when we've always spoke about the hard data points. So if you've got growth, inflation, jobs, and central bank decision-making, if you've got those major sort of market-moving events, we're now beginning to see job numbers worsen and inflation just tick higher. So two out of those four are certainly suggesting that there is some significant problems. A lot of the softer data, which underpins the hard data points, have been flashing red for quite some time. So at what point will growth start to reflect what appears to be going on in the underlying economy? That's a really, really interesting question. How late are now the Fed? Again, we'll kind of have to wait and see. So surprising risk on market conditions due to favorable US job numbers and US tech rally. I mean, that's still intact, really. So, unfortunately, that type of narrative is still intact. So, awaiting risk-off conditions to take hold. They haven't taken hold yet. So, it's not really that workable. So we're going to keep all options open. That's is there an opportunity in gold? Not really. We're looking for a bit of a pullback there, and we're still selling US oil with the euro dollar. So not a particularly exciting. We're still looking to see if we get some dollar strength today. Now, that's clearly a difficult and challenging market dynamic. So we'll see how that plays out. It's more likely that the stuff will play into the decisions made by central banks may indeed impact the dollar really quite significantly. Right, that's today's trade plan. Let's just keep those options open, shall we? And we'll see how we get on. On that note, listen, thanks very much for joining us. We're going to be watching these bond yields very, very carefully. If they go down, dollar probably goes down with it. We'll probably see a bit of an upside dynamic play out for these markets. Risk on with a kind of a dovish Fed. The market is really reacting as if the Fed are cutting for the right reasons when, in actual fact, now, it does appear on the surface that they're cutting for the wrong reasons, and this employment recession is coming down the tracks very, very quickly versus the hawkish Fed, which is keeping rates higher for longer. There's a good argument that suggests there's no real reason to be cutting rates if we trust the data. I suppose the caveat to that is the fact that these job numbers are worsening and appearing to worsen really quite quickly. So, under more of a hawkish Fed or recessionary fears, the bias would be. So really, we don't really have a huge amount of clarity is the takeaway. And as long as we don't have clarity, it's very difficult for us to make sure we make that call super early. Right, on that note, listen, thanks. Do let us know if there's any questions, of course. And those of you that are joining us for the US trading session, we'll be broadcasting there momentarily. On that note, listen, thanks very much for joining us. And we'll see you in the European trading session very shortly. Thanks, everyone. Take care yourselves. Bye for now.